on Monday. If you were watching the news, you would have seen the story of tennis sensation Naomi Osaka, who withdrew from the French Open just one day after being fined and warned she could face expulsion after she decided not to speak to the media for the duration of the tournament because of the effects such interactions had on her mental health. In a statement confirming her withdrawal, the current women's world number two said she had suffered from long bouts of depression since winning the US Open in 2018 and also confirmed she suffers huge waves of anxiety before speaking with the media. This is something I think we've talked about, I've heard about, particularly during the past 18 months or thereabouts. I'm joined on the line this morning by Grace Harrison, who is an Ennis-based psychotherapist and a counsellor. Grace, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you. This is a new story that has taken the world by storm because there is an awful lot of sympathy for her. On the other hand, some people are saying that, you know, that she's playing with the media and all that kind of thing. That's a whole other story altogether. But mental health issues, the big question, of course, is whether we're taking them seriously.
Yeah. And I think that this new story, this Osaka stance around it is communicating so much to the world right now around mental health and how, you know, the response straight away from the fans was to punish her, not to ask the question, to have that concern of maybe what's going on with her and that she's refusing to partake in these interviews, you know. And I think that it's really pointing to she was willing to forego her competitions in order to preserve her own mental health. And I think that speaks volumes to the world at large right now, especially as we're going back yes. into the world after lockdown.
Over the past 18 months and even long before that, people have their own demons, their own issues. We probably don't appreciate, and maybe we're starting to appreciate more. My new best friend is chamomile tea, I have to tell you. But we don't understand, we don't appreciate what people are going through.
No, and I think this is the thing with mental health issues. They're very much invisible. They're invisible to the eyes of other people. So, you know, anxiety, we often don't spot it. Depression, it can be functional. Addiction is very much hidden by the person with it and often isn't picked up on because so many addictions can be accessed online now. You know, you've got online gambling, you've got online shopping, sex addiction with pornography online, you know, so a lot of this isn't seen, not to mention trauma. There's a lot of people who are quite traumatized, affected by PTSD, and they manage to go about their lives. Nobody spots it. And I suppose I think when it's not seen, it's very easy not to have that empathy and to jump to conclusions around it. And yes, I feel that, you know, with Osaka, she's really highlighted that everyone is vulnerable. You know, like, so even sports people who we might put on a pedestal and think that they're superhuman, at the end of the day, everybody is vulnerable. And I suppose we have to work hard, I think, as a society to try to be empathy and to be empathetic and to keep an open mind when we don't see what's actually there. So I suppose, again, when I said earlier about asking questions, how can we ask questions to check with people? Say if they decline a social invitation or, you know, they're not getting back to your messages or they're coming into work and they're not in a great space, but you don't necessarily pick up on this. How can we check in with people rather than assume negative about people?
Just because I'm smiling on the outside, as they say, it doesn't mean I'm smiling on the inside. Are there any ways, Grace, that we can be more tuned in and maybe detect and see things? We might see changes in a person's personality, but we mightn't know why that might be. Are there any hints to maybe tip us off if a person is having anxiety, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, first of all, if there's someone that you know well for a while and you notice changes that they're, I think cancelling is a big one when it comes to social anxiety. If they're cancelling plans with you, if they're not getting back to you, if they're reluctant to go to social things with you. When it comes to performance anxiety, if you find that they kind of disappear when it's coming up to a big presentation at work or they're being asked to take a promotion at work, you know, if they start to freeze up, if you just find that they go, I suppose a lot of people when it comes to anxiety and depression, they withdraw and they go inwards. So if you notice any shift in somebody close to you, how can you kind of check in with them and I suppose open up a conversation that's just asking them how they're doing, coming from a place of non-judgment, that you just want to know how they are. And I suppose our tone and our body language communicates all of that. Us trying to be understanding. So of course, you know, if a friend cancels on you, you are going to be disappointed. And it's okay to say that too. You know, I'm really disappointed that you can't come out. I'll miss you. Is everything okay? Rather than, you know, being annoyed with them or jumping to assuming that they're just cancelling because they don't care about you. A lot of the time when we take things personally, it's actually more about the other person and what's going on with them in terms of their mental health. So if we can ask questions, keep an open mind.
Over the past 18 months, of course, many more people than before that will probably have developed concerns, anxiety, depression, whatever it might be, because of the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And as the world starts to reopen and we all start coming out of our shells again and getting out and about, it's going to be pretty difficult for people to normalise again, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, I really think so. And I think that, well, for two key reasons. For people who were anxious before COVID, they've actually enjoyed lockdown, you know, so they've enjoyed the respite from triggering events. So they've liked being at home and it's made life a lot easier. So there may be that reluctance to actually reintegrate with life as it opens up. For those who have been, I suppose, quite depressed during this time, which I think has been a big problem due to lockdown, we all need a vision for the future to have that kind of drive to keep moving. And a lot of rewarding activities and contact with people, of course, has been restricted. So a lot of people are feeling quite depressed and kind of have lost this sense of, I suppose, energy for life, maybe. So I think those two things coming out of lockdown are a little bit hard for people then to reintegrate into life. But I suppose the one other thing is also the lack of confidence that we became so used to doing things a certain way. And now in the past year, we haven't had the opportunity to do a lot of things that we once had a lot of confidence in doing. So I do think that some people will be coming out of lockdown with a sort of performance anxiety. Will I be able to do this face to face? What will it be like when I go to this social event? Will I be able to cope with this?
We had a text, Grace, from, I don't know if it's Mary or Marie, forgive me, Mary or Marie. I can relate fully to Naomi Osaka, and I have many more years on her. I'm in my 70s, and all through my life, I would perform tasks very well, for example, but I find public speaking, or find speaking in public very threatening. I think there's too much pressure from the media for people to perform. I think it's terrible disrespect for people. In my instance, all my life, I noticed that if it was one particular group of people that I had to be involved with, that would diminish my feelings about public speaking in public. People need to be more understanding. On the media side of this, in relation to Naomi Osaka, they have certainly some blame to carry in relation to how this story came out and how the story is being handled. Do you believe, Grace?
Yeah, I do. I think that the media are probably one of the most powerful things in the world. You know, the most powerful institutions in the world, and how they've handled this has been mixed. I suppose some of the, you know, there's been a huge turn since the fans turned their stance on things and commended Osaka for withdrawing or for stepping back because of her mental health concerns. But I think that Naomi's move has really opened up our eyes to how the media work, maybe, in the sense that we have to question. I mean, I know that there's a discussion around, are the media being quite voyeuristic? Is there something voyeuristic that within 30 minutes of players being off the court, that they are expected to front up to the media? And I think it's great that this is now being questioned, because there needs to be a transformation in the relationship, I think, between, well, be it sports stars or any stars in any field, really. And that there needs to be a transformation around that relationship between them and the media, that it's more supportive of them, more flexible.
I was reading one report earlier and they're all talking about how much she made last year. I mean, why is that relevant? She is a professional athlete. She's entitled to earn what she wants. But, you know, putting it out there that she earns so much money and that she should be obliged to go in front of the media as part of her contract, that certainly is not helping.
No, not at all. As you said, it has absolutely no relevance. Your earnings have nothing to do with your mental well-being. So I agree with you with that. And I think that, you know, I mean, the statistics show that the prevalence of mental health issues in sports, especially anxiety, is actually approximately the same as in general society. So why should they be treated as if they're superhuman and these extra expectations be put on them? Their salary has nothing to do with that.
Okay, the media, as we say, has a role to play in how the story's been handled, and they probably could do a better job of it. I think the Times had a much better article this morning. Grace, we'll leave it at that if we can. Thank you very much for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Thanks indeed, Grace. Good to talk to you. Grace Harrison is an Ennis-based psychotherapist and counsellor.